If you take notes, the title this morning, the word, is what gate is holding you back? I'm going to ask you a question. What gate is holding you back? It's December 15, 2013, and I have a question. What gate is holding you back? Last week we talked about rules and regulations, and we talked a little bit about there's sometimes restrictions that apply, but when you read the Bible, Jesus had never created a whole bunch of rules and regulations to hold you back. There were some boundaries to help you. Amen? And so this morning, sometimes we've taken the word out of context, and sometimes we've used it as a gate to hold us back. And last week we found out that Jesus is the gate. We heard that last week in the script, that Jesus says, I'm the gate. And you know, if you come through me, you have access in and out. Amen. We said also last week, I love that Jesus, amen, came into our neighborhood. Jesus came and moved in as flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. So our neighborhood's going to be different. Our personality should be different. We should see some changes. So this morning, I want to tie some things in from last week into this week. And then the question is, what gate is holding you back? Because this morning I want to talk about spiritual prisons and what Satan tries to use to cage us up and what we do to keep ourselves in. Take a look at this picture up here, this slide this morning about this prison. Sometimes we feel, as Christians, imprisoned. Sometimes we feel that we're behind these bars and that we're locked in and God doesn't hear us and God doesn't see us and God doesn't love us, and I've prayed a million times and he hasn't heard my prayer, and woe is me. And the world looks at it that God is trying to bind you up and put you in a box and hold you back from the blessings and the good life. What you call the good life. Amen? But God's not there to keep you behind bars. God has freed you and freed you from the prisons. And this morning, we're going to take a look in the Bible, in the book of Acts, about Peter. Now, you know, we know about Paul and Silas, and they were, you know, locked behind bars in their prison, and they were released through prayer and worship and that. But there is a story in the Bible, in the book of Acts, about Peter. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because there's three gates that Peter has to go through, and sometimes God allows us to go through certain gates in life. Certain things have restricted us. Some things have held us back. And we said last week that rules and restrictions may apply, but in Jesus' terms, he's not holding you back. He's trying to position you to move forward. But sometimes we allow things that people have said to us to hold us back. And God wanted me to share that with you this morning, is that don't let people imprison you with their words. Don't allow people to imprison you with the words that you'll never amount to be anything. You know, you grew up this way, or you're a certain color, or you're a certain race, or you're a female and you can't do that, or you're a male and people imprison you with their words. There's no gate. No size of a gate that's too big that should ever intimidate you, because you got someone. You got a somebody. You got a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. You have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside. You got God inside of you. You got the God squad. Amen? Sometimes we allow our past hurts and our wrong decisions and our bad choices to imprison us. You bought a car and you got a loan that was more than you could afford, and that's $600, and it feels like it's imprisoning you because you can't go out and go do anything because you got this $600 car payment or $800 car payment, or you bought too big of a house but sounded good at the time because you wanted to impress the Joneses, but God was saying, you know what, the other one is the one you're supposed to have, but you want to be a show off, and that's okay, but now you're imprisoned by the $3,000 payment because you made a wrong choice and a bad decision. You've been hurt. You've been divorced. You went through a tough relationship. Someone lied on you. Someone cheated on you. Someone hurt you. And then that's been Satan's ability to lock you down and cage you like a prisoner. So we're going to see what the Word's got to say this morning. And we're going to look in the book of Acts, Acts 12:3 this morning. We're going to read a little bit of it, and then we're going to talk about it. Amen? Acts 12:3. This is out of the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, this is King Herod. It says, when King Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. So what happened? They arrested some of the people that were Christians. And so he figured that if I can get Peter, he's the one, you know, who's one of the leaders of those Christians. Oh, don't ever be a leader of a Christian because people pick on you. And it says that he took him during the Passover celebration. They go, well, Pastor, what are you talking about Easter stuff for when it's coming Christmas? Well, you're going to get this message this morning. Then it says, the king, it says, and then he imprisoned him, placing him under guard with four squads of four soldiers each. That's 16 people that imprisoned Peter, the pastor. 16 people. It's still not enough to imprison you when you have God. And Herod intended to bring Peter out for a public trial after the Passover, basically to execute him and show everybody who is a Christian, to give you fear and doubt and imprison you a little bit more in your circumstances and situations. It says verse 5, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The church prayed. The church. We be the church. Prayed for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he fell asleep because he rested and trusted in the Lord. Fastened to two chains between two soldiers. So he was tied up. No pun intended. He was locked up. He was imprisoned. He was bound up like some of us sometimes feel. Between two soldiers. And it says, others stood guard at the prison gate. So there were still others that were outside, that were not just next to Peter, but they were outside of the gate guarding Peter. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter, and the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. And all the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. It kind of sounds like Jesus. Just leave everything behind, but follow me. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Verse 10, they passed the first and the second post, or the gate, and came to an iron gate leading to the city, and it was open for them all by itself. It opened up all by themselves. They went to the big gate, and we've been just through two more, but there's a big one, Lord. I don't know. And the Lord says, just step on in. And he went through the gate. They passed the first, the second guard post, the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened by itself. And so they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. Remember, we talked, the Jewish leaders sometimes had a lot of rules and regulations. There's like over 610 rules and regulations they did to hold people back. Not to bring them into the kingdom, but to hold them back, to show you that you're not worthy. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. They went to a home where people were praying. There were a group of people. They didn't have to come just to the church, but they went to someone else's house because they got the phone numbers after church when they left today, and they got the email and said, hey, let's just get together and just pray one day this week. Does this say that? I'm sorry. I was just helping. Verse 13, it says, and he knocked on the door and the gate, and the servant named Rhoda came to open it. And when she realized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she didn't open the door. But she ran back inside and told everybody, Peter is standing at the door. And they all says, you're out of their mind. Because Peter's still in that prison. We're praying, but we ain't believing. You ever done that? I've been there. And they said, when she insisted, they decided it must be an angel. That's what it must be. Meanwhile, Peter continued to knock. He was knocking. And when they finally opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. Wow. We prayed our fervent prayers and God answered it. Holy cow. How'd that happen? Let me start with this. Just like King Herod, the devil tries to use fear and intimidation in your life. He tries to do that to hold you back. He tries to get fear in the heart of the believers. And the king really thought that if he could get Peter, who is the boldest of them, and he could kill him right around Easter time, that it would silence the Christian. And let me say something about that. As Christians, we need to start standing up to our government. We need to stand up to our politicians. We need to start standing up and making a mark that says, hey, you know, we still need a little bit more of prayer in school. It's okay that we're going to have a Bible group somewhere within the school. We got to push that a little bit. We got to push our agenda, the Jesus agenda. Because they've pushed us clear out of the schools, and they pushed us out of the court system. And what they have, they pushed us out of the families, and what do they have is a mess. Because we're afraid if we say something that might be offensive, like Merry Christmas. Don't say Merry Christmas, you can only say Happy Holidays. I didn't know it was a holiday tree. I thought it was a Christmas tree. Because Jesus Christ died on a Christmas tree for all of us. Amen. Amen. So Herod sent out, I like this, Herod sent out these squads of soldiers to capture and guard him. There were 16 of them to hold down one man. He was under heavy attack. 16 guards to hold down Peter. You ever have something that felt like it was too big for you? Felt like 16 guards were just watching you, talking about you, people speaking ill about you. So we're going to talk about this because, see, sometimes Satan will use people like King Herod or people in a circle or at work or somewhere to try to hold you down, to try to chain you up. Take a look at this real quick, this little slide here. Satan's trying to bind you up with chains. He's trying to hold you back from your dreams. He's trying to say, this gate is too big for you. You can't get through it. You've gone through some little things, but this big one you ain't going to beat. The devil tries to chain you up. He tries to hold you back. He tries to destroy your dreams and your aspirations. See, Peter just wasn't under arrest from Herod, but there was an assignment on his life from Satan, and he used Herod spiritually to try to compress him and hold him back. Are you familiar with that? Maybe you're going through it. Maybe you think, Lord, I've prayed 1,000 times for change, but it still hasn't taken place. How long will it take till I get free of this addiction? Or maybe you prayed for loved ones that are in bondage or are going through something and they've been going through this addiction and bondage for years. Or maybe you've been in an emotional or relational prison that's been locking you up from wounds and now you're depressed and despondent. You're bitter, you're angry. Man, this just hasn't changed. It's been forever. Maybe that's you. You've been going through something so long, you're saying, when is God going to let me through? Open the gate like he did for Peter. Just let me slide on in. Take a look at John 10:6-10. We looked at this last week. It says, Jesus told the simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. It says, I will be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and freely go out and find the pasture. A thief is only there to steal and to kill and destroy. I came so that they will have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Jesus said that he's the gate. If he's the gate, that means he has complete access to opening and closing that gate because he's the gate. Nothing harmful can get through that gate because he's the gate. Know where you are positioned spiritually, that you're tied to the gate. And that gate will open when you use your faith. Let's talk about this, Peter. Earnest prayer. They were earnestly praying for Peter that was kept in the prison. But the people of God got together at a house and they became the church, because that's who you are. This building isn't the church. You is the church. Amen. You're the church. And you can gather anywhere you'd like in America for prayer. If it's in front of the doorsteps of City Hall, in your house, at the mall, wherever you'd like to pray, go ahead and do that, because you have the freedom to do that as an American in the United States of America. Amen? Amen? Think about this. Peter was in this situation, but the whole time God was up to something different. The whole time we see that there was, it seemed like a lion that was roaring, but there was the Lion of Judah that was working behind the scenes. Amen. God was about to reveal and do something that was unexpected. The thickest prison walls could not hold back what God was about to do. When you pray, and you fervently pray, and you seek God, He will answer your prayer. It may not be in your timing, but His timing is always perfect. And it doesn't matter how big the walls have gotten, no matter how many gates there has been, no matter how many guards you have to go through to get to where you got to go, when God hears your prayer, He's working on your behalf. Amen? Earnest prayer will open the gates that have been holding you back from all the things that God has for you. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. See, when Peter passed through the first gate and then the second guard, they came to an iron gate in the city, right? And it opened to them on its own accord. God will open up a whole bunch of doors for you. But here's the key. Note this. Peter passed through three gates. The third one was made of iron. It was a big gate. And as he moved towards freedom, Satan always tries to throw something in the way. A bigger gate, difficult bars, more shackles, and it seems like you can't get through it. But shout, nothing is too hard for God. See, think about all the prison doors, all the things the angel had to go through to open it up so that Peter could be free and lead him past the guards in every passageway. And in front of there was this giant gate, right? That's what the Bible said. There was a giant gate, and it opened up by itself. And then once the massive gate opened to the city, the angel parted from Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, you're on your own. There's a time that God kicks you out of the nest because He can't do it all. Sometimes you got to do something. You can't just be waiting on God, because God's been waiting on you. He's already made your bed. He's already given you breakfast. It's time that you go out and get something done." Oh, Pastor. It was time that you, the Lord freed him to walk the rest of the way with your faith. Take a look at this slide. That's a big prison gate right there. And sometimes we feel that even though we got through some of the small battles, there's still the big one, and I don't think I can get through it, God. See, here's what happens. Many Christians get some gates open for them. Sometimes we walk through them, and sometimes we look at them and say, well, you know, God delivered me here, and now what I got is I got this other big door in front of me. Another barred door. Here we go again. Oh, I gotta step through this one. Oh, gotta go through another trial. Gotta go through another test. And is God ever gonna hear my prayer? See, once you're delivered from the cell, sometimes you get intimidated because there's another battle in front of you. That's what the devil always tries to do. He always tries to say, oh, you got through one, but God ain't big enough to get you through this one. You got through the first disease of sickness, but this cancer one going to kill you dead. And then you grow discouraged and you say, I'm tired of this. And then as soon as you get through the door, there's another test and another trial there. And then you start to give up and you're tempted to say, I just throw in the towel. I don't want to do this anymore. But you got to understand that God removes all your chains, all your burdens. And it doesn't seem like it at first, but it seems like the doors aren't opening as quick for you. But be convinced and know this, that he's already made a way when there seems to be no way. Amen. Here's the key from Peter. When I looked at the scripture, one by one, each door was open for Peter. The door came open supernaturally. The angel came. They got through gate one, gate two, and the big old gate. He got through the handcuffs and all that fell off. He got dressed. He walked out. He did all that, right? God did all that. Here's the deal. Peter's job was to keep moving in faith. Peter could have said, is this really an angel? Hey, I don't believe this. Oh my God, there's 16 guards, they're going to kill me. That didn't happen. He moved in faith. And God's saying, when you're going through some circumstances, just move in faith. You might not have the answer. You don't know really where you're going, but just move in faith. Walk by faith and not by... So, I like this. Peter then went to the house where all the prayer was at to report the miracle that they had been interceding for him. And as Peter knocked on the door, I can just imagine Peter is knocking on the door, and he got through the gate. Got through three gates. There was still one more gate of unbelief that had to be addressed. And sometimes we stop short of crossing the line because we say, well, this is all good. I'm happy where I'm at. But God's got this other thing for you. And he's asking you sometimes to step on in the deep water. I got you through all this, and it's all good. I'm good, Lord. I'm happy. I'm content. I got a 2,000 square foot house. I'm good. My cars are paid. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm good. You got me through this gate. I'm good. You got me through the sickness yet. You got my kids all good. And God's like, but I got one more place for you to go. And we say, well, so Peter knocks on the door and they're still praying fervently inside, and they had no idea what was on the other side of the door that they've been praying for. Scripture says that prayer that was earnest means they were sticking to it, not giving up, holding on to God and not letting go. That's what a fervent, earnest prayer is. I pray for my kids to be safe every day when they go to school because there might be somebody with a gun that wants to shoot them up. But my kid going to be bulletproof because he's surrounded with prayer. It's the kind of prayer that God has called the church, us, to do. It's a persistent and passionate desire to see loved ones and friends, to take over a city, to be interested in things and watch God move in a mighty way. And I love this thing. I love what happened in this. An interesting thing happened. Believers learned that their prayer was getting answered. It was on the other side of the door. But they didn't. They thought that girl was whacked. She ate too much pudding. The servant girl told them that Peter was at the gate. Fourth gate. In her joy, She didn't open the gate or the door, but ran to report that Peter was standing outside the gate. That's what the Bible said. He was outside the door. They were praying inside. And this was the final gate that Peter had to get through. He had to push through with his faith. He had to knock and kick and scratch to get through the door. God is in the delivering business. And you might fight him. You may go kicking and screaming, but he's going to deliver you. It's how you want to come. Do you want to come all beaten up and all sweat up? Or do you just want to go, Lord, I just want to do your will. Lord, I just walk right behind you. You already made a way when there seems to be no way. I just follow behind you, Jesus. Come on. He does the impossible with a single word. He sends the angel and he opens up the gates. I mean, come on. How many things has God opened up for you that it was just because you opened up in prayer? Take a look at this slide real quick. This is what Jesus does right here. This is what Jesus does. He breaks every chain. He already made a way when there seems to be no way. When you pray to God because your kids are jacked up, guess what? God will make a way for them to come back. They may be 40 years old and still living in your house. They won't be living in my house. They might be living in your house, but when they're 40 years old, the time that you be a man and you step on out, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They still love them. See, here's the deal. God opens the first few gates for you, but he always leaves the last one to be opened by faith. He supernaturally opened up Peter's gates, but now this last one required the faith and the action of man, not an angel and not God. It had to be by man. He had to walk by faith. God does this so that we can be engaged. He wants to make sure that we're out praying. He wants to make sure that we're out doing what he's asked us to go do. And here's what happens. God does the greatest part, but there's always a part that we have to be engaged in. God doesn't want you sitting around waiting on him. He wants you to engage. He's given you the keys to the car. He wants you to turn the car and put it in drive and go where you need to go with God. Amen. He knows that even when our fervent prayers and those things are happening, there's still in our corner of our heart a little bit of unbelief. I mean, these people were praying for Peter to get out. God going to work a miracle. And then when he showed up, they're like, I can't believe that. Think about that. God's a sovereign God. God's a God of power. Every genuine move of God throughout history has always required a man or a woman to stand up and say, I want to be counted for God. I want there might be a weak person or a shy person, but God honors those that act in faith. Take a look at John 1:14. John 1:14. We looked at this last week. I want you to get this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the what? The neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into your space. He moved into your heart. He moved into the neighborhood. He said, all the old junk and clutter need to go. I got to make some room for you. Because you have me now living and dwelling inside of you called the Holy Spirit. He's given you someone that's going to make sure you make the right moves at the right time to be at the right place to get what God has for you. And don't allow what people have said to hold you back and imprison you. Because Jesus broke those chains. Jesus, when he broke the chains, he moved into your neighborhood. He took up space. He's dwelling with you. I like that. I'm glad that Jesus is in my neighborhood. I'm glad that Jesus is in my office where I work. Because we're the number one office and they can't figure out why. Because I got Jesus. Jesus doesn't fail. Yeah, it took some hard work. Yes, it took some effort. Yes, it took some prayers. But we just kept on moving through the gates at work until we were number one. I didn't look back. I didn't doubt. I didn't fear. I said, God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. He's saying the same thing to you. Fervent, effective prayer moves God to open the last iron gate and set the captives free. That's what happens. Peter's story shows us that if you don't act in faith, that last gate will remain closed and some captives will remain behind that we're supposed to go through with you. Don't be the stumbling block for somebody else to get into where they're supposed to be with God because you don't want to do something for God. God called you to do something. And see, now I'm understanding what he was saying when I was sitting there. That 2014 is going to be, that's why you got to move some clutter out of your life. Because God's going to move in and take residence. And when he takes residence, big things happen. And the space you have now isn't going to be big enough for all the things God wants to do. So you got to move some of the junk from the trunk out to the place and bless somebody else because he's got some other bigger things for you. But don't allow the big gate to scare you, but just walk in faith. I don't know, Lord, but I'm trusting. Lord, I don't see it, but I'm believing. I'm a believer. Yes, I am. Okay, I think there's a song like that. Amen. Take action by using your faith. Faith is an action word. Faith means, you know, faith isn't this. Faith is getting up and doing something. Sometimes faith is kneeling down and praying. Faith is an action word. That means you got to go do something. And whenever you speak to someone about Jesus, God may have already brought that person through several gates. And somewhere, a believing loved one may have been praying for them. And you don't realize it, but God has given you the power to open the last gate to that person if you elect. Prayer not only opens doors powerfully, but it opens our eyes to the needs of those things at our very doorstep, and God desires to meet every need. I don't know about you, the God I serve is a need meter. Amen. Peter's praying friends thought they asked was impossible, but say, nothing is impossible for my God. Nothing's impossible. Even though these people were faithful to pray, they weren't open to what God could do. Open yourself up to what God wants to do. Do what God wants to do, not what you want to do. He's big enough to remove all your debt. Been there, done that. I had to make some steps in the right direction and then believe that I receive. I'm trying to help you. Think about it. Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and they were amazed. And when they finally did open the gate, those praying saints were amazed. Sometimes we want to see it before we really believe it. But we really need to believe it before we really see it. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see. Sometimes I don't understand why God does things his way, but it's his way and not my way. And his way is a lot better than my way. My way will mess it all up. In each of our communities, take this morning, people are knocking at our door. People are ready to see a faithful church act on its belief that God desires to free people from every prison. There ain't a bunch of rules and regulations. They've thought the church, that's what it's about. You don't dress a certain way. Well, that person wears shorts, or that person's this, or that person smells, or that person, you know, just came out of the street. God loved them all because he was the gate. Jesus came as flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. He didn't say all that. You were in the neighborhood. Y'all got to move out because, you know, you ain't doing the way. No, God just moves in the neighborhood, and then everybody else changes because God is in the midst. See, when you step into a room, things change. You don't talk about filthy stuff at the water cooler anymore because, oh, that Christian's walking in that room. Come on. I'm trying to help you. God wants you to know that there's hope for the hopeless. The Lord is ready to move as a result of your prayers. And now what you need to do is move forward in faith and see that His power can transform lives. This is what I urge you to do. Keep praying earnestly for your loved ones and everyone you meet. God may have already moved in their lives, even though you don't realize it. So when you hear God knocking at your door, which He always does, be faithful to open it. Jesus is ready to amaze us, all with His saving, delivering, and transforming love. He wants to take you through the last gate. I know you've been through some stuff because we live a life on earth. And it hasn't been perfect. And we question God and we've prayed and we've asked God, oh my God, Lord, when are you going to just answer my prayer? And God said, just one more step. One more step of faith. You're going to trust me? You're going to believe me? I know it's down to the wire. I know it looks pretty bleak. We've been there. I had to sell my wife's car first and then the motorcycle to make the church meet its bills. But we didn't doubt God. God said, sell your motorcycle. I said, honey, I think the Lord said you got to sell your convertible. She said, did you hear from God on that? I said, yes, I did. We're selling that convertible. So we sold that convertible and we got her a different car. And she was happy to have it. And God said, that's not what I said. It's time for you now to sell your motorcycle. And I said, I had this ear infection of deafness. I was deaf in both ears. I didn't hear you, God. And He says, that's great. Because I'm in the healing business and I'm about to break those chains off here. And now you can hear, sell your motorcycle. Okay, Lord. Sold the motorcycle. And there was only like four of us at the church, and I had to pay the rent and stuff. I mean, you know, so we mean it wasn't like $1 million of tithes were coming in. Not like I hit up 15 people and say, hey, can you help us out? So we went months paying for it. I sold that motorcycle. Heard from God. God blessed it. God didn't turn things around. God broke the chains of my deafness. Peanut gallery over there, praise the Lord. Fervent prayer. My wife will attest, 12 years of me having pancreas problem, she prayed all the time that I'd just be healed. And then we had surgery, we prayed, and I got healed. So then I said, I'm not going to step on her faith anymore. I'm going to step in my own, walk in my own faith. Because that gate was open. Then I got cancer in the lung. I didn't tell anybody, and I said, hey, I'm walking this one with Jesus. Got healed. Why? Because I moved out in faith. He's big enough to cure cancer. He's big enough to take care of your debts. He's a big God. And He wants you blessed. And He wants you to dream big. And He wants you to be the borrower and not the one that's going to have to borrow all the time. God wants you to have a good job. Why? He's going to plant you somewhere so He can use you. Don't fight it. Don't squirm and fight when God puts you in a place of work and you're saying, I don't like it. That's good. That's where God's got you for a reason. I was in a job for 6 months. I hated it. They brought a new boss in and this guy and me, I knew I was done. The old rule, if you can't kill the king, you got to move. Amen. But I was there for 6 months. Miserable. Complaining. God just kept on shaking me. When are you going to learn? I got you here for a reason. Just stand still. I'm working something out. It's 6 months away that you don't know yet, but I got a bigger blessing for you. I got something great, but you have to go through this gate, and you might get persecuted, and people might say something, and don't give up. I know you're annoyed. I know that you're under stress. I know you're burdened, and God's saying the whole time, I got this other thing, but He didn't tell me with the timing. Don't grumble and complain because God has something better for you. It's better to go through it smiling even though you're going through some, you know. Pastor Donald said, she had a client yesterday that was tough as could be. Not a nice person. but she endured for like 30 or 40 minutes at the cash register with this person. Mean, treated the mother angry, just a bitter person, lying and, you know, just making a spectacle of herself. And all she did, and it was just so funny, all she did was smile. And you know what was so funny? This is how God works. There's Amanda's friend that was waiting and watching. This young gentleman, about 20 years old, was watching to see, watching the whole incident happen. She didn't lose her compassion. She didn't get angry. She wanted to probably strangle the woman and go, you know, go Dago on her, and but she didn't. Amen. And but she was the love of God. Come on, now keep it real. And there was somebody watching the whole time. He came back and said, "I can't believe you were still with the client, right?" And he's like, "Shake it." And then when he got that, she said, "Now, can I help you?" He said, "I can't believe. I know that you're going through stuff." 20-year-old watched, witnessed. When you have God and you walk by faith and say, people can't affect you. We don't allow people to. They can say some stuff about, people talk about me all the time. Let them talk. I know who I am in Christ. People say, well, you're just trying to raise money for those kids. Yeah, but you're gonna go use that to, you know, buy and shut off a new car and a motorcycle. I don't do that. I got enough. I got a job. Amen. That affords me to buy whatever I want to buy. But people get messed up. Well, you know, only 20% of the funds are going to go to the people. The 80% goes to administration. Really? I got a lot of overhead here, don't I? But you hear that. And I say, you know, if someone gives me $100 for the toys for the kids, $100 is going to those kids. Somehow, some way, something. Or I'll give it to the youth so that they can go on a mission trip, that can go bless somebody. But it's going to go for the purpose of those kids or the youth to grow, whatever that is. But yeah, people talk about you. Don't allow people to talk about you to imprison you. Don't allow their words to hold you down. Don't allow them to say that you won't accomplish or be anything. I was told I was going to be a janitor when I graduated high school because my ACT test scores were so low, my SAT. I was in the SAT. I was just sitting around, I guess, SAT, you know. I was a SAT test. And they told me I'd never amount to nothing but a janitor. They said. I sure surprised them when I got a college degree, amen, and got edumacated in the system, amen. Messed them all up. But I'm still like a janitor. I'm still taking out the trash. And I still mop the floors here. So maybe they were right in a sense. But that's not where I stopped. I went past the gate of being a janitor. Amen. And then through God, I passed through another gate and another gate and another gate to where I am today. And I give him all the glory for it. But you have to walk in faith. Don't allow gates to be an obstacle that you can't get through. Because Jesus said, I'm the gate. And you can come in, and you can come out, and I'm going to take care of you. All you got to do is trust and believe in me. Amen? Amen. Son, let's do that fifth song. And I want you just to think about this morning what was said. And if you have been held up by a gate, today's your day to get and step out beyond that gate. Don't allow the gate to imprison you anymore, but step out in faith this morning and allow God to walk with you. He's already paved the way. It's already been made. All you got to do is just walk in his steps.
The more I see,
because the more you seek him, you find them.
The more I find you, the more I love you.
And the more you find them, the more you will love
feet, drink from the cup.
Think about this song for a second. There's been a gate that's held you back from sitting with him, resting in him, in his peace, Don't allow that gate today to hold you back from laying in His arms and resting in His peace and knowing Him. If that's you this morning, as you walk, those shackles are going to be released from your hands and gates are being opened before you. Don't be held back by the gate, but come to the gate because He loves you. And if that's you this morning, I open up these altars so I can pray with you and lay hands on you and allow God just to break all the bondages and allow every these gates to be open as you step out in faith. Because the more you find Him, the more you'll love Him, the more you'll seek Him. Think of that. Sitting at His feet. Think about that. Think about laying back in Jesus' arms and Him holding you and just feeling His chest, His heartbeat against you. That's how He is. He is the gate. He is open for you. He wants you to be delivered, set free. He wants you to run with Him. And if that's you this morning, I just open up this altar to allow God to just open up those gates. Let the floodgates of heaven touch you and bless you. I'm going to keep this altar open for a minute. If that's you, don't be embarrassed. Don't be bashful. I don't know about you, but there's something on the other side of the gate that I want. I'm going to do whatever I got to get through that gate. And no devil in hell is going to hold me down because I got Jesus on my side. Every dream that I have will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He said that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath, that you're blessed coming in, but you know, today you're even more blessed going out. There's no gates that are holding you back. There's no depression, oppression, past issues, past hurts, those all get removed today. But you got to move from where you're at. That act of obedience of Peter, knocking on that door, will bring people to be amazed. Wow, look at our prayers were answered. See your loved ones that have not been serving God come into Christ. But walk up front today and be that person that opens that gate for that loved one. We're not going to get angry. We're not going to get frustrated when people step on our toes and line and act like a fool. We're just going to smile. We look past God, going to smile and just show them the love of Christ. Before Christmas is about Christ. And how can we show Christ without being Christ-like? Jesus, as you open up every gate for us, as we step out in faith, Lord God, we draw close to you. Lord God, we cling to you. We draw to your peace. We draw to your love, to your will, to your way. Break us down, Lord God, to be more like you. Mold us and transform us into your image. And Lord God, the words that come of our mouth, let it be that of praise and worship to our Jesus. I ask you to bless your people, and as they go forth, Father God, this week, let it be their best week ever. If they're seeking a job, they'll find it because, Lord God, they're fervently praying, seeking, knocking, asking, and that, Lord God, you never, ever come back void. Our prayers always be answered by you, Father, and we thank you for it. It may not be the way we want it, but, Lord, it's the way you want it, and your ways are better than ours. We thank you for paving the way. We thank you for a great Christmas. I pour out, Lord God, by your Spirit, let there be favor and increase in the lives of those that are here. And Lord God, if they've been battling with sickness and colds and these flu bugs, Lord God, let it go now in the name of Jesus and let them recover. Let their body line up with according to your word. Let their blood flow correctly, Lord God. Let their sinus cavities work right, Lord God. Let their vocal cords and sinus, Lord God, and breathing, Lord God, all come back to normal. I pray for wholeness in the people that are here. I pray for favor and increase. Lord God, traveling mercies for those that have been traveling, Lord God, that will come back. Lord God, bless them, touch them, and increase them. Let them feel your heartbeat this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody that heard it said, amen and amen.